KEY today.
Imagine that. The Defense Department can't account for a missing $8.7 billion while the cost of the debt keeps skyrocketing in this country. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. We're coast to coast and all those spots in between, left, right, or undecided. Doesn't matter what your stripes are. Just as long as you have an opinion, you can share it with us on this conversation highway. It's all about the water cooler buzz, and boy, there's plenty of it for this show, certainly, and it'll spill over to the rest of the week. Coming up, we're going to talk to an interesting guy, Dr. David Leipert, and he is somebody who was a Christian and converted to the Muslim faith, and he believes that there is a clear path to peace and that there's a minority of radical nuts, the Islamic extremists that we've talked about so often on this show since, you know, 2001 and what happened in New York and how it changed all of our lives. And he's dedicated his life to pushing the truth out and saying that he believes that Islam has a lot in common with Christianity and Judaism, and that as a mainstream Muslim, there is a path, like I said, to peace. So that should be a very interesting conversation. That's coming up in another 10 minutes here on the show. But I started off saying that the Defense Department is missing money. Boy, you hate to hear stuff like this when so often we're talking about the trillions that we are in debt in this nation. So there was an audit that was done, and the Pentagon can't seem to account for about 95% of $9.1 billion, to be exact. And that's in Iraqi reconstruction money. And that pretty much shines a big fat light on Iraqi complaints that there is very little to show for all of this money that has supposedly been pumped into that nation. So where is the do-re-mi? Now, the money that's being questioned is managed by the Pentagon. Like I said, this audit was on the Pentagon, not to confuse anybody, because it's not part of the whopping 53 bill that Congress earmarked for rebuilding. It's simply cash that Iraq relies on through volatile oil revenues, because you know how that goes up and down, to fuel the spending, and really can't afford to lose any of it. So that's a lot of money. When you say anything with a billion, but when you're almost, you know, you're at $9 billion, that's a lot of missing money, a lot of money down the rat hole. That's money that would absolutely rebuild and would be part of the reconstruction effort. So here we are, 7 years after the invasion, electricity pretty much spotty, generation capacity falling way short of what they ultimately need. I'm giving you some examples. Fuel shortages are way too common. Unemployment, sky high. So there isn't a great ability to create new jobs or even to get foreign investors interested in what's happening in Iraq. Remember the old joke about, oh, pretty soon we're all going to be going to Baghdad on vacation? Hardly. So there's all kinds of complaints that have kicked up for the past couple of years when you had, from the start of the war, the lack of the ability to try to secure banks and some of the other money spots, I'll call them, against looting. And now the allegations have quadrupled, even more than that. And this is a very, very critical time for the United States and for Iraq. It's 4 months after those elections, and a new government still hasn't been formed. And now there's worries that insurgents are going to tap into what is now this missing vacuum, that they're sort of in nowhere man's land with nobody controlling the interests. So we know that there are insurgents that are still in Iraq, and they still would love to light the flame of any kind of sectarian violence. At least 6 or 7 people were killed, dozens more were wounded, and this time it was a female suicide bomber who strapped herself up and blew herself up near a checkpoint in the holy city of Karbala. And these kind of things are going on, whether it's Shiite, Sunnis, or the Kurds. That's the idea, to try to create more chaos. So now with all these financial challenges, that certainly doesn't help. The International Monetary Fund in March, remember, approved a loan to help Iraq meet what the obligations were, and that loan was for almost $4 billion. They're supposed to, or projected to, rather, run a deficit through 2011, according to most analysts, and there is a possibility of a surplus, but it all hinges on the oil prices, and we see what's happened with oil prices that have just fallen through the floor because of the global financial meltdown. And even though it's rebounded somewhat, Iraq is absolutely at the mercy of whatever the international oil markets bear, because the revenues come strictly from petroleum sales. That's 90% of the government budget. Did you hear that number? 90%. So here's the scoop. So what's going on with this money? And in question, the money in question came from the Development Fund for Iraq. It was set up, here we go again, by the UN Security Council back in 2003. And the DFI includes bucks from Iraq's oil and gas exports, as well as some of the frozen Iraqi assets and surplus funds from Saddam Hussein's UN's Oil for Food program. So there's a big, big, big problem here. I mean, you add up all the things that I just said. Nobody's really in charge since the elections were inconclusive. That's 4 months. You got this missing money that nobody can account for. You have the concern over money coming from oil and just question marks abounding about this particular money that would have made a big difference in the construction. And you got people that don't even have electricity. So it boggles the mind, doesn't it? What has happened here? Well, how did this all unravel? And, you know, this isn't, we'd heard stories like this, so it's not that it's completely shocking, but when you're talking about $9 billion, remember Paul Bremer saying that back in, I don't know how long ago, this was years ago, announcing at one point in front of Congress, he had no idea where missing money was going in Iraq. I mean, what does that say about Iraq? It is a cesspool of corruption and dishonesty. And what about all this stolen equipment? And this is how many billions of taxpayer dollars did we pony up for Iraq? And how many lives were lost? It's infuriating to read headlines like that. And at least we forget this is things that had kicked up a while ago, like I said, and still no solution to where is the missing money, just more accusations about that. In the meantime, something we're going to talk about a little bit later in this hour when we get on the immigration deal, because there's a lot of tentacles to that across the country, including in Nebraska, a voter-approved ban on hiring and actually renting to people who are in the country illegally was suspended by the Fremont City Council less than 2 days before it was supposed to kick into effect in that very small Nebraska city. Remember, the people went out and said, we're not going to put up with this anymore. But it looks like that is not going to take effect. What about Arizona? Here we are at the end of the month and the end of July. So we'll definitely zoom in that direction. But next, let's talk about the relations between Muslims, the peaceful Muslims, and the radicalized minority folks in that religion. Stay with us.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey Elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. July 27, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $1185.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1217.37, $608.69 for a half ounce, or $304.34 for a quarter ounce. That's $1217.37, $608.69, and $304.34.
Making the right decision is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or worse, depression? Many investors are turning to gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold. Discussing costs, benefits, risks, the book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold can be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, this book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Everybody listening to America Tonight, how we feel about people who take religion and manipulate it and use it for terroristic reasons. And what weighs heavy on many people's minds, as we know, and you have espoused it many times here on these airwaves, is what has happened recently with some of the homegrown problems, too, like Fazal Shazad, for example, the guy who almost blew up a little portion of Times Square. Who knows what the destruction would have been there. The Fort Hood shootings, and we could list a lot of others, too. The Christmas Day would-be bomber, Abdullah Muttalib. And it all traces back to one thing, radicalized Islamists. And we often say, where are the great Muslim people who many of us know in our lives who aren't out there saying, listen, this is not who we are. This is a nutball slice minority of people who use the Muslim religion for violent, incredibly sick reasons and, you know, use it for terrorist attacks. So who better to have on this show than Dr. Dave Liepert, who is somebody who was a Christian, converted to Islam, and says that, yes, the religion has been overtaken by a minority of radicals, but isn't it time to stand up, talk about it, and find a different way. Hey, Doc, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Let's first of all, let's talk about your transition, how you started off in the Christian religion, then you converted, and how that came about for you and what you saw in making that transition back when you did it.
Well, you know, it's all about purity of the message, because it doesn't matter what religion you follow. There is a message that is from God that's at the core of it. And every one of our religions, you were talking about this from the context of Islam, but it happens to every one of our religions. They end up having that message manipulated sometimes for political reasons, sometimes for marketing reasons. But when you look at what the message actually is to all people, it pretty much comes down to love of God and love of neighbor, and really no special deals for anybody. And one of the difficulties that we're struggling with in Islam right now is, as you say, the radical Islamists. And more than anything else, they're manipulating Islam to increase their own personal power, rather than using it for the purpose that every religion has, which we all join up with them theoretically for the good reason that we want to use it to make ourselves better people tomorrow than we were today. And then there are some people who try to yank it to their own purposes. But I was talking to one of your national security advisors earlier in the week, and he was quoting me stuff that troubles him about Islam, stuff from the days of Thomas Jefferson and the war between America and the Barbary Coast pirates. Mm. And he was quoting me those things as if they were Islam today. And radical Islamists do the same thing. But the thing is, I pointed out to him that was a time when Christianity was being used to justify racism and slavery and things like that. And the thing that got Christianity back to the way it's supposed to be, or at least closer to the way it's supposed to be, is the example of Jesus, peace be upon him. That, in fact, the evangelical call is to fidelity to the primary exemplar. And paradoxically, in Islam, too, the thing that actually will bring the religion back to the way it's supposed to be is remembering the way it was in the very beginning. Because you have this incredible society that was founded by this incredible man, Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he created a society with rights and freedom and justice for all, regardless of race, creed, or gender, which is so close to America, it's actually why mainstream Muslims love America and why there are so many coming to this country. It's not because we want to change it. It's because it's actually very close to the way Islam was in the beginning. It's very close to the way we're all supposed to be treating each other now.
So how do you bridge that gap? How do you... You know, in other words, we're seeing that the problems in New York with the idea of building the center, the Cordoba Initiative, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and they want to build it close to Ground Zero, and now there's a lot of protests from the people, from the families of the people who were killed on September 11th, you know, back in 2001, and there's been this controversy that's dusted up over it. How do you bridge the gap, I guess, is what I'm saying. In other words, you talked about having that conversation with one of the national security advisors. So how do you reach out? How do you change that? How do you change what's out there as far as the Muslim religion is concerned?
You know, I was just having an argument with the chair of the Canadian Council of Imams about the Cordoba Initiative's plans and how we actually disagree about the potential there. Because I look at it and I say this is an opportunity for peace. It's actually going to be a lightning rod for controversy that could actually backfire. Whereas he thinks that it's just trying to go too far too fast because he's much more worried about the backfiring. Because the difficulty, the thing that drives us apart is the alienation. The thing that gentleman, the Fort Hood massacre, that was a U.S. Army officer who loved this country, but he began to feel so alienated from the people around him that he started to identify with radicals on the other side of the planet. And that's the same thing that happened to the Times Square bombing attempt. It's the same thing that happened to the Christmas Day bombing attempt. These are actually mainstream guys who end up starting to feel so alienated from mainstream society that they start identifying with the radicals. And the thing that we can all do is to realize that, you know what? We're all on the same side if we're using our religion for what it's supposed to be, which is to make us better tomorrow than it is today. And we are all opposed to the idiots who try to use religion for their own political power. And it doesn't matter what religion you follow. Whatever decision you make around that central question defines which side you're on. And it's to try to end this alienation that, the violence and the misinformation and the rank hatred that sometimes crops up on either side it contributes to the alienation. And people like the Canadian Council of Imams, people like myself, and I serve on the Muslim Council of Calgary, and I work with the Canadian Council of Imams, and I know there are many great Muslim organizations in the States that include the Cordova Initiative. They're actually trying to build bridges to end the alienation so that we can work together for the shared purpose of peace that is at the core of every religion that we've got.
Yeah. We only have a couple of minutes left, and boy, we could wrestle with this one for a long time philosophically and otherwise. But the wars in Afghanistan, I was talking about that before you came on, and well, really, I was focusing on Iraq and some missing money. But Iraq and Afghanistan, what's happened there, and how do Muslims feel about what's going on there and the military strikes also in Pakistan?
Oh God, the mainstream Muslim opinion is that radical Islamists have done more damage to Muslims. They've killed more Muslims than they have done to non-Muslims. When you look at the body count, radical Islamists are actually responsible for vastly more Muslim deaths, and they're responsible for this incredible alienation. They're responsible for the fact that anytime something blows up, everyone looks at me or any other Muslim around us. We actually feel, a lot of us feel, that the radical Islamists are at war with Muslims and Islam, and the tragedy is they have duped many, many good people in all of our countries to actually fighting on their side against Muslims because they've got they hide behind ideology and they hide behind youths that they're able to suborn to their purposes, and they just bring about death and destruction all around the planet. And we need to realize that Muslims don't support the death and destruction. We support Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the example of his life. And the first three generations of Muslims who are kind of, they're the ultimate people that are supposed to be guiding us. I'll just give you one really quick example. The ayah that says fight the people.
Hey, Dr. Dave, hang on. We're going to meet you on the flip side for the rest of that story.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com. Or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners, use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
10 years.
Genesis.
A decade of talk.
Genesis.
Great talk radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
We've been talking to Dr. Dave Liepert, and we've been talking about he's somebody who was born a Christian and then converted to Islam, and a part of what he's doing is talking about mainstream Muslims and that there is a path to peace. And we were just talking about that, Doc. We were talking about how radical Islamists, what actually has happened, that they've killed more Muslims. They've duped a lot of people, and some of the things that have happened, and it's that whole ideology vein. And you were going to tell us a story, and pick it up from there. Tell us the story.
Well, thanks very much for giving me a little bit more time to talk. I know I've been talking a fair bit. This is just an example of a story from Islam that has been turned around. My book, Muslim, Christian, and Jew, Finding a Path to Peace that Our Faith Can Share, I've got a lot of stories from all three religions, but the ayah that says that Muslims should fight the people of the book until they know themselves to be subdued, that Islamists and Islamophobes together claim means that Muslims have to fight with Jews and Christians, it was actually revealed in a very specific context. There were about 25,000 Muslims alive at the time. They had heard rumors that there was this army of 250,000 Christians and Jews who were going to come down and exterminate them all. And so they issued from the gates of Medina expecting to have a fight to the death. So this ayah they got, it really kind of confounded them because they were outnumbered 10 to 1, and yet they're told to fight them only until they know themselves to be subdued. And instead of finding an army that was going to exterminate them, they found a bunch of people who wanted to live together in peace. And so that ayah, instead of telling them to fight, told them not to fight. and brought a peace to the Middle East that lasted for decades. And there are so many examples in Islam and Christianity and Judaism together that actually bring peace to all of our peoples rather than bringing conflict if you actually know the meaning of the verse when it was given to the people who received it. And that's going to be the path that actually brings us all to the peace that God intends for us to have together.
Yeah, boy, that's a nice thought, isn't it? Let me ask you this other question, because we talk about this all the time. Look, Osama bin Laden, the bad guy, the whole 9/11 thing, we could go through all of that. But let's just say bin Laden himself. I've had arguments with people over this who feel that, oh, no, there's just if bin Laden, if there was any way, there's all these rumors about if he's dead or in caves or whatever. But if he were to be caught and tried and etc., whichever way it went, that ultimately it would open up a bigger Pandora's box. There'd be even more destruction in the name of Allah and the Muslim faith, and these radicalized Islamists would just be fueled like nobody's business. Do you think that's true?
You know, in the Quran, there are only two crimes that carry the death penalty, and one of them is killing innocent people, and the other one is spreading mischief across the face of the earth. So if you ever capture, I read his obituary about 4 years ago, and so I'm not sure that the man is even still alive. But if he's still alive and if he's ever captured, then let him be tried and sentenced by Islamic law, and the penalty will be more severe than could be achieved by Western law these days. And that probably would be a step to peace for all of us. Just realizing that the things that he is doing and the things that he has incited other people to do, it's completely against all of our laws and all of our rules. And we all need to stand against people like him.
Oh, boy, I so agree with that. You read his obit. Where did you read his obit?
I read his obit when I was in Saudi Arabia.
Really? And so, yeah. You know, there were stories that kind of broke about that, but nothing was ever really flushed out. But you think that there's a good possibility that he's not even with us.
You know, there have been a couple of videos that have come out purporting to be him since that time, but the way he dyed his beard is actually completely against the rules that Muslims of his particular sect would follow. So it seems very likely that it's people using him as a symbol. He's a very potent symbol for radical Islamists and, unfortunately, for radical Islamophobes together, because he's a rallying cry for both. Well, he's a rallying cry for hatred. The man has done profound evil. Muslims were warned that we'd have apparently Arab-speaking, apparently Arab-fleshed men with the hearts of demons who would come to call the faithful to the gates of hell. And I think men like Osama bin Laden have called people Muslim, Christian, Jewish, agnostic, atheist, any religion. By calling us into conflict, they've made us start to create a hell on earth for each other. And their evil lives on, and it needs to be condemned.
Yeah. Well said. Dave Liepert, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck in all of what you're trying to accomplish, and we appreciate the time on America Tonight.
Well, thank you so much. You have a very good evening.
All right, you too. That was interesting, and there at the tail end you heard what he had to say, too, about bin Laden reading his obit in Saudi Arabia, and then the reasons why, the religious reasons why he thinks he's not alive when we debate that question, and ultimately, if you go by Islamist law, what would happen to bin Laden if perhaps that he were to be alive? But there are others who say the same thing, that they do not believe what we're seeing is real, no matter what the authentication process is with the CIA. Kind of continuing along a similar vein, we're talking about Afghanistan. Remember in our previous show, the whole WikiLeaks thing? Well, apparently hundreds of Afghan lives are in a serious risk, maybe up to even 100,000, with all these intelligence documents that were released. Remember the amount of documents that were released, Nave was in that same neighborhood, where it was like 92,000. And, you know, who can say what the count is, but apparently at least hundreds of them, the names are there because of what's in the documentation, and that talks about all kinds of things as informants, identifying informants that were working with NATO forces. And if you comb through the archive, the Times of London did it. They found lots of people who were credited with giving up information, intelligence, in other words, to the guys, to the forces. And their villages are also in there for identification, and sometimes their fathers' names were printed along. So here you got this founder of WikiLeaks who claimed that all the documents released were checked for named informants, and that those documents, which there was like 15,000, were not put out there. But that's not true, because going through the detailed logs, you can see informants' names, particularly some of the tribal elders. And the Afghan government is beyond upset. Of course, they react with a horror and frustration to the volume of information in those files. The leaks definitely would have to say, in this case, put a tag on everybody's head who they can trace. It would be easy to go back and trace the names. And they're definitely in danger. Their lives are in danger, the integrity of the people. And then plus, this is where it would hurt NATO or U.S. efforts. Who's going to do that? If they see people getting killed, getting off for helping the Americans, who's going to want to help them? So now the U.S. is even more complicit in this thing for prying open what's happened in Afghanistan, but also for the fact that these leaks, because they were documents, Pentagon documents, classified documents, might cause people to be murdered, the people who are named on WikiLeaks. So, you know, if anything, this is going to shut that door to information that could be released that wouldn't have involved people's names. That's going to shut that door even more, I think. So the Pentagon still sticks to this claim that the preliminary review of the secret reports that are released didn't really pose any kind of immediate threat to the U.S., to any of our soldiers, but they warned that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda would probably be using the info to identify and target the informers. Well, duh, of course, because the names are out there. That is the worst possible thing that could happen to those people. Because, listen, without the informants, how do you think any intel, anything that's learned, is ever going to happen again? If you see that people are disappearing or being murdered. And remember, a lot of the stuff that's not reported that we have heard, that we've heard from Anand Gopal and other people who have come on the show, is things like people having their heads put on sticks outside of villages for ratting out Afghanistan people or the Taliban or whoever. And this would only make it that much worse in the pursuit of the informants, because, trust me, anybody with a computer would have had access to the information because it was printed out there, or it was put on the internet for anybody to see who goes to WikiLeaks.org, if they could get in, because that's what happened. There was so much information out there that everybody wanted to see once the report started to circulate that the system got overwhelmed with the amount of people trying to jump on board to find out what was in the documents or try to scan through as many documents as possible. So there's definitely a couple of strikes right there. And if it didn't do any damage to the troops, I mean, the Pentagon to say it didn't do any damage to the troops, I think is wrong, because obviously it does do damage. It will shut down that highway of information, because who is going to cooperate? I don't care what you give them. I don't care if you give them guns and food and whatever. You'd have to get them out of Afghanistan and give them a different kind of life, the people who are turning in the villages. There's just no way they could survive that, and they know that. They're not stupid. They see what the Taliban does, and like I said, with the heads on the sticks. Coming up on the flip side, we've got odds and ends, so stick with us, locked and loaded on America Tonight.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
So, you're rolling your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com. The best site on the web with over 1,500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. Papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand available at rollingpapers.com. We are centrally located and quickly package and ship daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample, or for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
Across America, if you've ever heard the show before, you know how we roll here. Odds and ends means we kind of mash it all together, because there are a lot of very odd stories happening, and some of them have ends, if that makes any sense to you. And really, if we stretch the bounds of the imagination, some of them are quite funny and some of them are quite serious. This one's kind of all over the map, including somewhere I read this. You know, everything's about the electric cars now and what's going to happen to the electric cars. And, the affordability, well, you wait and see what's going to happen. And I read something in the Washington Post. Most of the conversation, or a lot of it anyway, is over the Chevy Volt, the GM car. It's going to cost $41,000. And customers will have to make up their own mind, according to the report that I read, as to whether or not it's actually an environmentally appealing deal. Is it really worth a price that is head and shoulders above similarly sized conventional autos? In other words, you're paying $41,000 for a car. It's not sexy. It's not going to blow people away. You're pulling up in your and your chariot, and your chariot is just a regular Chevy. Which, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But the guy that could pull up next to you could have the very same make or looks the same, the car, and he paid half of what you paid. And we know this because we've talked about this. There has always been the electric car technology, or I shouldn't say always, but for the past couple of decades they had it and they killed it. It's like that whole movie, GM killing the electric car. But it was the high cost of making the cars that prevented a lot of people from pumping them out in mass production. So now you got these price announcements for the Volt and the Nissan Leaf, too. The Leaf is has been another one that people are talking about. And the difference there is the Leaf is going to cost a little over $32,000. And what both companies are hoping, because whether it's the $41,000, the $32,000 and change, whatever it is that the federal tax credit will be there for buying an electric car, because that would offset, that's what they would sell to you. Hey, listen, it might be sticker shock, go, yeah, you're getting $41,000, but guess what you can get? And then the whole idea of the fact that you're doing the electric car thing and, geez, how much is it going to cost compared to what it would cost for gasoline? Now, the Volt goes 40 miles on its battery charge and an additional 340 on a gasoline-powered generator. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, about a gallon. So the all-electric Leaf has a range of about 100 miles. Woo! And remember, this was another Obama thing because it's definitely appealing to environmentalist-type people that I'm going to put a million plug-in cars on the road by 2015. You think that'll happen? You think by 2015 there'll be at least a million electric cars on the road? Hey, you know, 40, 50 years from now, no big shakes. I think that you'll see that. But 2015, not so sure. Depends. I think it really does depend. One, it depends on the kickback. But more than the kickback, I think it also depends on proving that if you get this car, here's some of the other things that will be cheaper for you. This, and this. And then going down the list. Because that's what it's all about anyway with people that are looking for cars. Let's face it. It's about the budget. All right, you know, in our previous thing, because this would fall into odds and ends, we were just talking with Dave Liepert about Bin Laden at the end there, and I happened to see a report in the London newspaper called The Mail, and in the Mail they had an article about Bin Laden and saying that Bin Laden was seen at village meetings, even though the CIA says that they were clueless. So that Bin Laden was spotted at meetings with the Taliban. But here's what the headline doesn't really tell you. That they've said this for the past 5 years, and they're talking about meetings that go back to 2005 and then 2006. And Leon Panetta, the director of the CIA, said last month that there have been no firm leads on Bin Laden's whereabouts since the early 2000s. So no firm leads. Yay. You know, maybe there is some credibility to the whole here's his obit, he's done. I would say that would be a crazy way to end a guy who took down way too many people for a radical, ridiculous cause when he was once again somebody who had, if you look at the background of Bin Laden, he was somebody who might have been disillusioned or whatever, or was able to radicalize a lot of people with his ideas. But he came for money. He had privilege around him. Ugh. But we'll save that discussion for another hour of America Tonight. All right, as we move along, here's an interesting thing that's now happened. You know, I'm not much on the daytime TV, but maybe some of you are. Maybe some of you third shifters, you get home, you're sleeping in late, you go off and you do whatever you're going to do, and before you go to work, and you flip on the tube, and it's mindless time where you just don't want to even think about what you're watching, and you flip around. A lot of people really like Judge Judy. The judge shows are popular anyway. So Judge Judy apparently has gotten incredible ratings, just crushing Oprah, who's going away, what, I think in a year and change or whatever it is. So Judge Judy averaging $6.15 million to Oprah's $3.7 million. Wow, what's up with that? Oprah was down 20% if we looked at last week versus the same week last year when the show was in repeats. Judge Judy is up 16%, like I just said, versus last year when it was also in repeats. So Judge Judy is topping out pretty high. The Ellen DeGeneres show is another one of those daytime shows. See, I haven't really seen any of these shows other than little clips here and there, but was out of the top 25 and got like a 1.6 as far as viewers. Yeah, it wouldn't be on my radar, but it is interesting that the I think people like that, the controversy, the people facing off, and whether it looks like a fake little court or not, as to whatever the rulings are. But there was something to it because those shows have had a long run with a lot of different judges. I mean, how many of those shows are there? Matt, have you ever seen that? There's probably got to be. There's the divorce court, and I'm somebody who hasn't even watched a whole show. But I'm thinking there's probably like at least six judge shows at any given time that are on with six different judges.
I stay away from all the courtroom programming. I do not get involved in that whatsoever. There's so much better stuff on during the day.
I agree. I agree.
So, I don't know. I never got into that.
Me either. Or any of that the drama stuff. I would probably either be, if I wanted to do something mindless, I would flip on to on-demand, watch movies,
right,
or watch some Showtime or HBO Fare, or even a documentary or Discovery Channel or any of the other shows. I wouldn't click on that either, but there is definitely a market for it. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and if you don't have cable, there's still better stuff on. I mean, I dated this girl who was into soap operas, and so I was kind of forced to watch them every once in a while. I'd rather watch that than watch the courtroom programming.
Yeah, I feel the same way you do. So we're in the minority. We don't understand it, but we know that there are some of you that might end up plopping down and watching it. Or if somebody's ever had a courtroom battle, whether it's a divorce situation, small claims, then there is something to the drama of that whole thing, that somebody gets socked and somebody else walks away and feels like they got theirs, I guess. It is like some of the nighttime dramas in a different way where they're portraying that. I mean, all those law shows were certainly popular, and that is courtroom related, and that's fantasy. So this goes along with the whole reality thing that is huge, just absolutely huge. All right, if you have any thoughts, you want to share them with me, you know what to do. AmericaTonight.net.
That's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.